Hi. How you be? Good, good. Well, my name's Chris, and I'm excited to hang out with you guys this weekend. Has anybody ever been to summer camp where I blabbered at you? Yeah, okay, good. One person was excited. That's awesome. But I'm really excited to be here with you guys. I'm supposed to let you know a few things about me. One, my wife wanted me to say hello to everyone. I flew out. I'm currently living in Chicago. Chicago, right? So I'm living in Chicago and flew out this morning, and she was like, tell everyone I said hello. My wife is awesome. She's godly and beautiful and smoking hot, and I love her. So I miss her. My youngest daughter turned 2 yesterday, and you can clap for that. That's
you aged. Yes, well done.
And then I've got a 6-year-old boy. His name's Josiah, and he is convinced that he is Iron Man. So he wanted to be Iron Man for Halloween, and so we got him like the Iron Man thing, and then we got him the mask, and then I got him gloves, and then he's got these shoes, and then have you ever seen those like flashlight things that go on your head that you turn on? I got him one of those, but I made the strap bigger, so he puts it around his chest and then puts it on and then puts his costume on, and he's like glowing out, and he's just like, and he comes out. He's convinced he's Iron Man, and then he goes like this, and I fall over, and then all of a sudden I'm like, I'm Hulk, and then I get big, and he goes like this, and I don't fall over, and he's just like, oh no. Because he knows what's coming, you know what I mean? I'm just like, bam, right? He's all done. And then I have my oldest daughter. She is 8. Her name is Eden. And she's just awesome. And she, the other night, totally convicted me. And I have to share this because I'm a dad. And so I talk about my kids and make fun of them when they're not here to defend themselves. Hashtag parenting. And so basically, we're sitting there at this restaurant. And a couple people from our church happened to be in the same space that we were in. And we start eating our meal, and my daughter just goes, ahem! And I'm like, what's wrong? She goes, shouldn't we thank the Lord? I heard the family from our church just go, oh dear, oh dear. Pastor's not teaching his children how to pray. And I'm just like, you go away. Anyway, so I'm excited to be here. A lot of fun going to be happening this week. A couple things. If you have a Bible, I would love for you to get that Bible out. That would be spectacular. Get that Bible out. Open it up to the book of Mark. Okay, I want you to go to Mark. If you don't know where Mark is, you can turn to your Bible. The first few pages of a thing called the Table of Contents. In the table of contents, it'll say Old Testament and New Testament. You're going to go to the New Testament. Then it's going to say Matthew, Mark. It'll give you a page number. Go to that page number. Once you go to that page number, you're going to see big numbers. Those are chapters. Small numbers. Those are verses. And I'd like you to go to Mark, big number 12. Mark, big number 12. Or the 12th chapter in the book of Mark. Mark, chapter 12, or the 12th chapter in the book of Mark. Mark, chapter 12, or the 12th chapter in the book of Mark. Mark, chapter 12, or the 12th chapter in the book of Mark. Big number 12 in the book of Mark. Some of you are like, gosh, why do you keep saying this? Because one of you is like, where are we going? Mark chapter 12. Mark chapter 12. If you're there, say I'm there. If you're not, say please wait. Okay, if someone around you said, please wait, please, Be like Jesus and help them find it, please. Mark chapter 12. Oh, the 12th chapter in the book of Mark. If you have this, do you guys have these yet? No? All right. Moving on. Mark chapter 12. That'd be great. Mark chapter 12. I haven't told you yet. Shush. What verse? Summer down. Trust in Jesus. We'll get there in a second. So, hey, I want to pray. I want to talk with God real quick, if that's all right with you. So if you're willing, would you just bow your head with me and let's just pray. Jesus, we come before you and just want to acknowledge that you are King, you are holy, you are righteous. We want to thank you for everything you've done for us, even for the things that maybe we've never acknowledged before. And so we just pause and ask that this week, this weekend, that you just reveal yourself to us in a new way, no matter where we are on our journey with you. Regardless if this is our first time ever coming to something around church or about you, God, or we've been coming to these things our whole lives, I just pray no matter where we are, you just become very clear to us. We pray in Jesus' name. If you agree, say amen. 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 So as we look at 2 Corinthians chapter 2, just kidding. Mark chapter 12! Okay. I do have a couple quick expectations. Now, I'm going to say this real quick because you guys are junior high, which means you're filthy beasts. I love you, but you are. So here's the thing. I have a couple quick expectations, and here's what they are. Here are my expectations, and why do I give these expectations? Have you ever seen at like a Walmart or a Target, they've got these clear plastic tubs with latchable like sides? Inside the lid, there's a picture of a child in the box with a lid going on it with a big red and then a line through it telling you, please do not lock your child inside this plastic top. Why do they have that on there? Because someone did it! Did it happen to me? That's why he is the way he is. Thanks for that. Yeah. Anyway, so here, I have a couple expectations when we come into this, like teaching time, just so that you're aware, we're all clear, and if you break one of those things, leaders, hit them. Okay, here's the deal. Don't really do that. Just, like, throat chop. Okay, here's the deal. I'm like condoning violence. They're like, never mind. All right, so here's the deal. Here are my expectations. I want you to listen real quick. I'm going to fly through these. When we're together and when I'm up here, here's what it is. There's to be no talking, mocking, spitting, biting, licking, kicking, flicking, farting, passing of bodily gases, or general botherment of those around you. Shh. One more time. These are all rules because they have been problems before. Listen to them again and try to imagine the context by which I had to add this as a new expectation rule. There's to be no talking, mocking, spitting, biting, licking, kicking, flicking, farting, passing of bodily gases, or general botherment of those around you. General botherment of those around you. Why? Because there's always going to be something stupid you're going to invent. So I just throw that catch-all in there that's just like, hey, if you're an idiot, throat chop. Your leaders are like, he's violent, but I like it. There's to be no talking, mocking, spitting, biting, licking, kicking, flicking, farting, passing by the gas, the general botherment of those around you. Got it? All right, so this weekend, we're going to be looking at this idea that's found in Mark chapter 12. Mark chapter 12, big number 12, small number 28. I want to read this to you real quick, so if you have your Bible, I want you to follow along. I understand that my Bible and ours might be a little bit different, and that's okay, so I'll be reading out the verses as we go. It says this, I'm old, don't laugh. Here we go. Don't laugh. I'm already insecure. Why do you think I shout a lot? She's like, four eyes. Anyway, Mark chapter 12. Verse 28 says this. Follow along. It says, and one of the scribes came up, and he heard them disputing with one another, and seeing that he answered them well, he asked him. So this guy walks up to Jesus, and he says this, and he's saying this in kind of a way, he's trying to trip up. There's all these different laws that they're supposed to live by and rules, and he's trying to trip this person of Jesus up who's claiming to be the Son of God, and he's trying to show that he's trying to lead people back to God. And he walks up, and he's trying to trick Jesus, and he says, Jesus, which commandment out of all these 600-plus commandments we're supposed to follow, he says, which commandment is the most important of all? They're like, oh, we're gonna get him. And Jesus says this, verse 29. The most important is, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Verse 30. And you shall love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, with all of your mind, with all of your strength. Verse 31. And the second is this. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other commandment greater than these. I kind of see Jesus in this moment. I see Jesus in this moment where they're asking and they're like, what's the greatest commandment? We got 600. Oh, you got all these commandments. You're claiming to be this Jesus guy, God in flesh, the Messiah, Emmanuel, God with us, the one we've been anticipating and waiting for, the one that we've been reading about for generations that was going to repair and restore all things, that you were going to pave the way. They're like, all right. So let me, what's the greatest commandment then, Son of God? And I kind of picture Jesus sometimes being one of those guys that likes to build a little bit of anticipation. Because after all, if you were Jesus, wouldn't you want to mess with people a little bit? I would. So he's like, so Jesus, what is the greatest commandment of all? I can imagine Jesus just like, but then he says something that isn't even anything new. He gives them this thing called the Shema. The Shema is this part of their culture that is, it's so prevalent in their culture. It's something that begins their morning prayer and it closes their morning prayer. This wasn't new. He says, hear, O Israel, listen up. He's like, listen up, people of God. The Lord, our God, he is one. And you shall love him with all that you are, with all of your heart, with all of your soul, with all of your mind, with all of your strength. You shall love him. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. And he's like, hey, above these, there's no other greater commandments than this. Straight out, mic, drop, bam. And they're sitting there, and I can imagine these people are like, but we already knew that. We've already heard that before, Jesus. You're supposed to bring something revolutionary. You're supposed to bring something fresh. You're supposed to make things make sense. You're supposed to connect the dots for us. And you're giving us the Shema. We know the Shema. Our great, 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 great grandparents have taught us the Shema. And it's been going down from generation to generation. So what's so great about it? And he's like, yes, you know it, but you don't know it. You've heard it, but you're not listening. You might have memorized it, but it's not fusing and coming out of your pores. You're missing out the beauty that is inside this simple little passage. Here's the thing that I want us to share as we're beginning this journey together tonight is this. As I was on the plane ride, I started doing some reflecting and just thinking through personally, like, all the things that had to go right in order for this moment, right now, to take place. It's like, just crazy, crazy things. It kind of goes all the way back. I'm going to kind of like reverse back a little bit. For me, it's like, I wouldn't be on a plane flying from Chicago to California to be invited to come be with you guys if I hadn't met Dallas and connected with him. I wouldn't have been being able to come here and be part of Hume at all and partner with what God is doing here if I hadn't come when I was an intern at our church and got connected with one of the rec guys named Derek who used to run all the meadow and all this kind of stuff. It was crazy. And I was like, and I wouldn't have been part of that youth group as an intern if I hadn't moved to California from Indianapolis where I grew up. And I wouldn't have moved to L.A. had I not blew out my knee my sophomore year playing sports. And then I couldn't play sports. And so I joined Glee Choir. Shut up. Don't make fun of me. I was straight like AAU basketball since I was like 8. I'm like playing basketball and I'm like shooting threes. And I'm like, ha, 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 yeah, jazz hands, right? That was my life. But if I hadn't blown out my knee, I wouldn't have gotten involved in acting, which eventually led me to L.A. But I wouldn't have cared about blowing out my knee. And I would have gone to this crazy frustration and depression had I not had friends who were rallying around me saying, Chris, I think God's got something bigger in store for your life. And I wouldn't have had that moment if my friend Adam never invited me to church when I was in eighth grade. I never would have met Adam had my dad, he lost his job and we had to move away from my one school and go to another school and I thought was the end of the world. That never would have happened if my parents had never met in high school. See how I could keep going back and how all these crazy things all lined up to make this moment possible. And then I started thinking how much bigger and more complex that is and how I can kind of reveal how God's working in my life even when I didn't realize he was working in my life. How he was this artistic architect and constructing this whole story and how he was revealing himself and moving in my life even when I didn't realize he was. And I was reflecting on the plane ride of how many of each of you in this room, all the things that had to go right for you to be here right now. It's by no mistake that we're here together. It's one of these things that we take the time to pause and reflect of see what God has done. And you can take that moment and realize, whoa, God has been working and God has been moving and God has been orchestrating and God he's at work. And see, this is kind of what the Shema is. It was how they started their day in their prayers. It was how they ended their day in their prayers. And it was to remind them that God is God, and he has been working and revealing and orchestrating and artistic and creative, and he's been making himself known since the very beginning. And they're able to come together and they say, listen up, Israel. Hear, O Israel, hear, people of God, the Lord, Yahweh, the Lord. He's been revealing himself since the very beginning. People of God, start your day by reminding yourselves that the Lord, the Lord is God. And they would say these things that would make them remember the first four words of the Bible. In the beginning, God. He is the beginning. He is the everlasting. He is the beginning and the end, the Alpha and the Omega. He is the one that speaks, and the entire cosmos is created. They asked Jesus, what is the greatest commandment? And he says, listen up, don't forget, the Lord is powerful. He is mighty. He is majestic. He is creative. He is strategic. He is this beautiful, powerful God. And he's like, man, don't forget, he's so much bigger than we could possibly fathom. That's the greatest commandment. This powerful, righteous, holy, pure, set apart, King of kings, Lord of lords. He is God Almighty. And he says this, the Lord our God. Trying to remind them that all throughout history, God has been orchestrating, just like all the things that had to take place to bring us here together tonight. God has been orchestrating since the very beginning of time, making himself known, revealing himself, and they're trying to get people through the Shema to remind them of the Almighty, all-powerful, man, just speaks the stars into existence type of God. Not only is he God, but he is our God. You see, God is so much bigger than we could possibly fathom, yet closer than you could ever imagine. I want to say that again. This is something I would love for you to wrestle with in your groups tonight, talk about. God is so much bigger than we could ever fathom, yet closer than we could ever imagine. Jesus is repeating this thing. It's like, guys, we know this, but do we really know this? We've heard this, but do we really hear this? Is it something that's connecting with us, that he is almighty, all-powerful, righteous, pure, the King of kings, speaks things into existence. He is God, and he is so much bigger than we can fathom, but he's also our God. Yet he's so much closer than we could possibly imagine. This majestic king is also wanting to be our God, our protector, our provider, our defender, our redeemer, our perfect father. And they're like, yeah, but I know we're trying to connect these dots. And the whole point of the Shema is don't forget all the times that God has revealed his character. Don't forget all the times that God has provided, all the times that he has restored, all the times that he has defended, all the times that he has protected, all the times that he has made these promises that he would come and restore all things. Don't forget that he is a God who always keeps his word. Yes, God is so much bigger than we can fathom, yet closer than we could possibly imagine. And he is one. Oh, man, he is one. He is complete. He is altogether. He is everything. And because he is all-powerful and so much more, bigger, we can't even fathom him, yet he's our God. He's closer than we can possibly imagine, and he is complete. He is one. He is the promise keeper. He's the defender, the protector, the restorer, the Alpha, Omega, beginning, the end, the all-powerful, almighty, righteous, holy, pure. He is God. And because of who he is, we are to love him with our heart, all of our soul, all of our mind, with all of our strength. And that will be this overflow that we get to be his ambassadors, his representatives, to take this message, to take this love that is bigger than we can fathom, yet closer than we can imagine, to show it and share it with everyone we know. Here's the deal. I don't know your story. I don't know if this is the first time you've ever come to one of these church things. I don't know if you're here because you wanted to get away from your parents. Somebody say amen. Amen. I don't know if you're here because your parents wanted to get rid of you. Somebody say amen. Amen. I don't know if you're here and this is your first time ever coming to something related to God or church or Jesus. I don't know if you've been going to church your whole life. I don't know if you're someone who's going through a really big challenge right now. There's things going on with friends. There's things going on with your family. I don't know if some of you are dealing with a struggle or a loss. The honest truth is it doesn't matter. Because no matter what is happening in each one of our lives, there's a reason why God has brought us all here right now, at this time, this place, in this space. And it might be because God's wanting to remind you that he is so much, man, he's just so much bigger than we could ever fathom, and yet closer than we could ever imagine. And he has orchestrated all these things to go right just for this moment to happen. And maybe it's because God's wanting to get your attention. He's wanting you to listen up. He's wanting you to say, "Hear, O Israel, hear those at Hume. The Lord our God, he is one." And he may be wanting to break apart all these different ideas and views and perspectives that you might have on who God is. He might be wanting to crush those and melt those away, to give us a real perspective of who he actually is, of trusting that he is who he says he is, and he'll do what he's promised he'll do. Maybe he's wanting to make himself known to you and reveal to you his character and his might, that he is someone that is always there from the beginning to create all things, restore all things, make all things. He is our defender, protector. He is our father. He's our redeemer. And he's saying, "I am calling you out. I'm wanting you to know. I'm wanting you to hear that the Lord our God is so much bigger than we can fathom, yet closer than we can imagine. And I'm saying, do you really want to know what it's like to be around me in my presence? You have to know who I am, trust in who I am." And this love begins to allow us to surrender all things over, because in light of everything we're facing, it's nothing compared to the vastness and the beauty, this extravagance that is God. This weekend, it is my hope and it is my prayer, as we break this down a little bit together, that you begin to ask some of these questions. Who is God to you? What are some of the things that have happened in your life that maybe have shaped your perspective and idea of God? Have you really ever thought about that he's just so much bigger than we could fathom? What does that mean? Yet he's closer than we could ever imagine. What does that mean? And he's calling us to love him with everything we are. What would that look like? So I'm going to pray, and my hope is that tonight you can begin these conversations. And I'm excited to share more with you in the next couple days. Well, thank you. That was nice. Thank you. Jesus. Going downhill quick. Jesus, thank you for who you are. I do pray, God, make yourself known to us. Reveal yourself to us in such a way it becomes so clear that we need to respond. I do ask that you allow our conversations tonight to, to allow us to explore who you are. Maybe break some of these weird views and perspectives that we might have of you. Maybe we'd be reminded that you've been working, not just in our lives, but since the beginning of time, revealing who you are and your power and your righteousness and your majesty, confirming that you're one who makes these promises, you keep these promises. And because of who you are, we can trust in you. And may that just be the catalyst that sparks us to surrender all. So God, thank you for tonight as we begin this weekend. I pray that you move in such a way it is undeniable that you are here. We pray in Jesus' name, and if you agree, yell amen.
Amen. Amen.